I am Govardhan Nambudiripad. I am a resident of Burnsville since 1981. And the question posed to me was, how did I get involved in with Ragamala? What happened is in 1981 or 82, probably 82, when Rani became our neighbor. She had come here for a lunch and saw a house on the way, and her husband at that time was working in Burnsville, so she ended up buying the house. And so we were neighbors since then, and she, at that time she was getting into the dance and showing the dance to the public. So I was involved in many of those programs, helping her in whatever way I can. Everything up, probably setting up lights at times and all that. In 1983, I bought a video machine, and I was probably one of the first videographers for her too. I remember seeing her first performance that I saw her was at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, if I remember right. So, and in 92, she started Ragamala along with David Whetstone. I was not in the board, but I was aware what was going on since she was our neighbor and friend. And 95 or so, she invited me into the board, and that is how I got involved directly with Ragamala.
In those early years, you were just helping out as a friend. She hadn't formed Ragamala yet, but she was out there doing dancing. And it sounds like she roped you in to do a number of things as a friend.
Yes, there are two things here. One is that, you know, she's a very friendly person. She had many friends, but I was neighbor close by, so it was easier, handier. But at the same time, I had grown up in a family where there was a dance company my grandfather had, and so have seen dance being taught and performed. So this gave me joy, or kind of I felt very much at home with dance and music. So I was interested in that. When Rani asked me, that was something in my background, or that probably prompted me to accept it without questioning. One other part of the whole story is that in those days, the Indian population was very small here. Most of us had come probably in 1970s and 80s. So I felt that Indians are establishing a community here in America. Felt like the Pilgrim Fathers who came over many centuries before to establish a community here. So in my own mind, I was thinking, what can I do to make this country a better place for everybody, especially for the Indian immigrants? So I was involved in the India Association and School of India for Language and Culture. And so I thought this is another opportunity to bring such a rich, ancient dance form to enrich the cultural life of this country. So that also, you know, it was a conscious effort on my part to make that thing, to help that thing happen.
Yes, to celebrate your culture. And do you know what? How big the population was at that time of the Indians?
The Indian population in the 1980s was probably 3,000 or something like that.
So pretty sparse.
Very, very small community, you know, from that perspective.
So then you saw the dance and your involvement in these activities as, well, actually enriching the American, you know, cultural landscape.
It's both in the sense that if Indians are going to be here, and we were thinking it will be there, so it helps that Indian community as well as the larger American community. And you can see that, you know, the last Miss America had a Bollywood dancer as her performance. You can see how, along with people, culture also immigrates, if you want to put it that way.
Yes.
And, you know, the previous immigrants have brought their own art and made this, the cultural landscape of this country, very rich. So this is, I felt like we are adding something on along with that. And the other thing that I always thought, and this may be for a future because I can look at this thing historically, if you look at how the interplay of the African sensibilities and the Western European sensibilities brought together created jazz. So I thought, hey, you know, this may be for the future generations to create something even different, greater. All that. Mm-hmm. So those are all the thoughts that went through my mind as I was getting involved with the Ragamala.
Okay. And then when you became a board member, so how did things change then? Your involvement obviously changed.
From a historical perspective, I'll go over the overall history that I can recollect after so many years.
Mm-hmm.
If I take the history before 92, it was Rani finding her place and testing the waters, if you want to call it, trying to see whether this kind of an art, which she was very much interested in, whether there's an audience here, whether, you know, how will it fit with the landscape here and all that. And by 92, it was pretty well established. She had a pretty good, reasonable audience and all that. So that probably made for establishing a theater company. Along with David Whetstone at that time, he was into music and Rani was into dance. That's why the original name, official name, was Ragamala Music and Dance Theatre. Music was David Whetstone, dance was Rani. So then around 95 or so, I joined in the board. Even at that time, we were still establishing and refining the bylaws, making sure these are legally and artistically correct, all those kind of things. So that's the area that we worked quite a bit in the early years. You know, the dance was going on its own, in a sense, that Rani was... with the help of others, writing for grants and getting money and all that, we were helping a little bit on that too. But it was mostly on the administrative side of setting up. That time, I can say that, say, from 95 to, say, 98 or so, was kind of the growing time, and the board was very informal, if you would say. So that got us into some trouble in around 98. Around that time, we didn't know exactly when it started either. One of the employees kept some of the information, financial information, not that public, and our auditing procedures and also administrative procedures were not still in probably where it should have been. So if you want to call it, it was an amateur board, if you want to call it. We'll get together at Rani's house or someplace, have some food and talk about things and talk about the issues, talk about what we can do, all that. But some of those paperwork and accounting was probably not as thoroughly looked into at that time. 98, we found that there were a lot of taxes that we haven't paid and many other things, and that particular employee left. And it was for us to dig and find out where things were. That was not a very happy time. There was even talk about one of the board members, the more analytical type of people were looking at this and said, you know, this may be the best time to do is to close the company. How could he even be, you know, be out of this mess? But I think the artists and the artists, one of the analytical people, I think the Rani's passion and our support to no matter what, this should work, this should thrive, Ragamala should thrive. That there was some very hard discussions as to how to make that happen and develop a plan, so we had some kind of a plan. But even then, the company was so much in debt, if you want to call it, money that we haven't paid Uncle Sam. So it took a while to set up a plan to get out of that mess, if you would. And almost, and some of those analytical people thought this, probably because they thought it probably wouldn't happen, they left too. But the artists thrived.
Well, there is this something to be said for the passion of the artists. The art has to thrive.
Art has to thrive, yes. And so this is a perfect example of that. I didn't think about it at that time, but looking back, gee, we were, if you want to call it, if you look at analytically all the things, we say we were foolish to do this. This is a big hole. We cannot ever get out of this. And we were begging for money. I had gone with Rani to people and see if we can raise some money to, you know, to keep Uncle Sam happy. But I think she got some good advice, not just not from me, but others, and managed to get out of that mess. I had a plan. Talked to the IRS, they gave us some time. We took a loan. I was one of the co-signees of the loan. And even at that time, I wasn't sure how we will repay, but we thought we'll somehow have to repay. But at the same time, the company was growing and there were more money coming in from foundations because artistically they were doing a great job. And the community, Bush Foundation, I think, was one of the major ones, and other people are recognizing that here is a community wealth that has to be supported. That's the only way I can look at it, because yes, you can write good grand proposals, but unless you deliver on it, the community will not support in the end. And just after these events, we had a one-day board retreat. I think Martha Johnson led that. And there we really looked at ourselves, at Ragamala, the board members, our passion. How do we take this company, which is still very small, to the next level? And there was a roadmap made. So in a sense, you can say that this particular event was a wake-up call. And from then onwards, the path was trying to make the board more professional, have a proper plan and execute against those plans. And then we set up auditors, we set up proper accounting procedures, on what should have been done at the first place, but we were more involved in the art to start with.
Well, it starts somewhere and it never starts perfect, so.
Yeah, and you know, somehow or other, I think the community support, Rani's passion, all those things put together made the company Ragamala thrive. Otherwise, they would be gone. If it were not for Rani's passion, I think it would have probably gone by that time.
Yeah. Here you bring up a good point, you know, the community now. How have the audiences changed over the years?
You know, the Indian community at that time was very small. And you can say if you look at when you have a very small community and also something like classic, you know, this is Bharatanatyam, which I didn't even talk about before. This is Rani's form of dance, particular type of dance, the following for something like that, people who appreciate a classical dance like that is very small part of the community. You know, it's like classical music here. Certainly a small percentage of the people who actually enjoy and support that. It's not one of those popular dance forms. So to start with, first few times the community came together to support, quite a few times. And quite often the performances were on community events, so you can say people didn't have a choice but to watch it, but they enjoyed it. But at the same time, Rani was trying to communicate to the larger audience, and she was very successful in doing that. Projects like Canticles of Mary, the Minnesota poet,
Robert Bly's
poetry, things like that, to show that even, you know, this is a dance form, this is a, not just a dance, actually an Abhinaya form, which is dance and acting together along with music. And you can interpret, any poetry, any story, any of those things through this type of dance or this type of art form. So she showed that, and that opened, I think, the eye of many others, the larger community. Hey, here's something that is an interpretation by a different, you know, probably people in different dress, but something that they can relate to. So to some extent, I think Rani found the type of things. You know, there are kind of two parts to this dance, if you want to call it. There's a pure, orthodox dance form, which typically Bharatanatyam is performed by one person, showing different aspects of that art. But that gets old very quickly to a larger audience. So she devised using this particular dance form to tell stories. Instead of one person, you can have multiple people in the on the stage. In India, in a sense, dance is a kind of part of life. It's not necessarily something that you show on a stage. I think most art form, music, everything starts like that. It's an individual performance or a small group performance. But now, the way we perform it or stay in a present it is in a box called theater on a stage and to an audience which is not used to this form. So You know, you but the art itself, Bharatanatyam itself, when has broad enough scopes, and Rani was able to find those aspects of this art which can be transformed into a stagecraft in a sense. So it's not the theater, you know, it's not just Ragamala itself changing, but it's changing the presentation and presentation techniques for to fit the theater box in the theater. And you know, which is really hard in a sense. I'll give you some examples. The Western theater, the ballet or whatever, the dance part of it, is more about movement and expressing ideas through movements, expressing expressions through movements. But in Bharatanatyam, it is much more by abhinaya or acting along with dance and music. When you have a ballet theater, you can have a lighting that is completely different from the needs of a Bharatanatyam dancer. In a few places, I remember going and we were setting up that, and this Bharatanatyam dancer is showing abhinaya, but all the lights are from top, and the abhinaya does not come up. So we didn't have any footlights. So we had bought a few footlights so that when Ragamala performs, he can put the clip on 100-watt bulbs. And you know, so you need to do some innovation to bring this fully presented properly. Rani was saying the other day there was a performance in a small theater of 120 people, and the reception that they got for Aparna's performance was completely different from what would have happened if when they perform in a 1,000 seat theater. Yeah, 1,000 seat, the person in the back cannot really appreciate all the abhinaya and all the acting that goes, and all the body, the graces of the body movement, as much as you could do that in a small intimate theater. So anyway, that's a constant struggle that is happening, and I think Rani knows that, and Ragamala knows that, and Ragamala knows how you can be successful in presenting this to a larger audience in a stage in the box.
Right. Continual adaptation to make things work.
Adaptation to this particular stage, particular venue, particular audience. So all those things. I think Ragamala's success has been that adaptation without losing the authenticity of the art.
The original art form.
Yeah. Yeah, the integrity of that art, keeping the integrity yet adapting to the new environment.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I think we all learned how to live in Minnesota when you came from India. You have to adapt.
That's right. No choice.
No choice. I mean, even, you know, I have to say that even in India, things are changing. What was in small theaters and small audiences is now being shown in large theaters like here. So they're finding that you need to adapt, you need to evolve, you have to, you know, to do something different.
Yeah. How have you seen the impact of the dance? And its popularity, how have you seen it impact audiences in the community?
I don't know how, you know, whether I'm a good judge of that, but if you want to look at the people that I know who supports Rani and the audience that I see when I go to her performance, and looking at the venues she has been asked to perform, looking at the type of commissioning that that she's getting from, all that, and along with that shows there's a public acceptance, at least in the small population, the percentage of the population, but still for the people who are interested in art, there's an appreciation of it. She has done workshops in schools and all that to make people familiar with it from an early age, which is, I think, is very good. Kind of on the side, there's the School of India Language and Culture. There's one or two Caucasian kids who had come and joined there because they had seen Bollywood dances and movies and intrigued by the culture, and these kids want to learn more about India and Indian culture. So art has that bridging ability. Art has a language which breaks certain barriers. And probably, you can see that in a couple of instances in the largest stage of United States. In a couple of instances, one is Rani has been, he is now member of the Arts Council of United States, appointed by President Obama. And like I said before, the Miss USA contestant won along with the Bollywood dance. So it's it's becoming more mainline, if you want to call it, or more people are appreciating it.
More non-Indians as well.
More non-Indians, yeah. People with not necessarily Indian background.
But they see the importance of the dance form and the beauty of the art.
The beauty of the art. And if you look at the 2010, 3 years ago, I traveled with Rani and her troupe to Kerala, and that was an eye-opener for me in a sense how that works. First of all, there were seven dancers. Rani, her two daughters, and the other four were not of Indian origin. They had no connection to India. Tamara Nadal, Amanda Dluhi, and a couple of other people, they were attracted by this dance and joined, and they were very good dancers. And I remember some comments that I heard while I was there, because after the show, usually the organizer or somebody comes and gives some comments. And at the last venue in Thrissur, the person who commented was the head of that organization who sponsored the show there. But she herself is a trained dancer along with other, and an educator, and said, "You can." And I also had some professional dancers with me, had done Kathakali dance for 40 years. She said they were amazed at the amount of effort these dancers have put into their dance. I'm talking about Ragamala. And so one of the things that I noticed along that tour is that when two or three people were on the stage, the people who were not on the stage was on the sidelines looking at what they were doing and trying to see how they can improve each movement. So the eight performances they did, all the 7 months at least, they were, each time they were looking at how they improved. So I think that the Ragamala has a culture of improvement, making it perfect, perfectionism, and that I think is appreciated by the audience. And any art performed with that amount of care, that amount of insistence on performance, almost anybody can appreciate, even if you don't know much about art. At least that's my that's my take on art.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I think that is being shown, and that's actually Raghamala is a good example of that, I think.
Yeah. Now,
I don't know, did I answer your question?
Yeah.
It's not a straight answer to that question, but
sometimes there aren't straight answers.
That gave me an idea about what areas I can
talk
about.
Yeah, and it talks about the impact that the dance has. And how, well, we've talked about that. But I'm just curious now, how have you seen the dance school? Because you briefly mentioned, her going out and doing the workshops, but she also does the dance school,
mm-hmm.
as well as a part of Raghamala as well. How have you seen that grown and changed over the years?
I don't know. I'm not that close to the school. But I have known Rani and I've been to their venue quite a few times. One other thing, because of all the travel, there are people who other dance companies where teaching is the more important part of their existence, if you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But Rani is a creative person, and her insistence was more on creating new shows and showing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, and the other part of it is that she's a very, Raghamala is known for very strict, adherence to traditional, movements and everything, and the whole art. So it's not easy for a lot of people to adhere to that. So I think the Raghamala has not really tried to grow as a school to try to teach hundreds of students, but take only a few and teach them well. That's what I, from an outside, without really getting into a whole lot of details, that's what I, that's what I have felt was happening.
Sure. And so what do you see as some of Raghamala's major successes? Was the traveling to India and Kerala a part of that?
Well, I can let me tell you a couple of instances in the comments that I got, if you want to call it that way. One is the organizer. There's a Surya Festival, which is in Thiruvananthapuram, so the capital of Kerala. And that one person, Krishnamurti, he's called Surya Krishnamurti, that's not his real name, but he has been supporting artists for many, many years. And it takes, even though as a trained engineer, he was working as an engineer, but art was his passion, and it is one of the most prestigious place, because even the great, best dancers would like to present things to the venues that he organizes in the state. And they have some of the largest audiences in India too. And he first said that, he's a very busy person. They have that festival going 365 days a year. Okay. Not all of them dance, but many other art form also. So he said, I may not be there for all the time because I may have to run. But he came and he stayed for the whole performance. Not only that, he almost immediately said, I want Aparna to come and dance here alone. And not only that, there's a thing called parampara, which is we have the teacher will be there and the teacher presents the student. That's parampara, is kind of the how artist goes from one generation to the other. So he calls up Valli and says that, I want you to come here and be the teacher for Aparna to perform. So I think that shows the quality of the company and people like Aparna. And Aparna is again going for a solo performance in three or four places in Kerala this year again. So there in India, you can get the best dancers, and you know, she's now at that level. And being in Minneapolis, small town, and to get to that level, and for Rani to get the Arts Council job, I think that shows a whole lot of effort and work and artistry, artistic ability, it speaks for all those things.
Do you have, anything you'd like to add that we haven't touched upon? Because you've sort of touched upon things, you know, the impact Ragmala has had on the Twin Cities and Minnesota audiences. What do you see, you know, the future for Ragmala?
Well, you know, that's a difficult question. Who can say what the future is? But if you can look at the quality and the creativity that they have so far shown, I think at least till Aparna's time, I can see that continuing in different ways probably, but artistically and creatively, both ways there, and being able to communicate to the audience those things in a it's going on strong, and I believe that it can sustain for many more years.
So you obviously see the communication going on between the art form and the audience.
Yes, I see that, and when you go to their performances and how the applause and the genuine and the comments that we get from afterwards really reflect the audience appreciation of it, and the fact that when they redid the cow and did call it Cowles Auditorium, Rani was asked to. Ragamala was asked as the opening act. So for Cowles, and I was there, Cowles Auditorium, that's the most prestigious dance venue that Minneapolis recently opened. So that shows very clearly that the local audience, and it was a fully sold out performance also. So that shows the acceptance of the audience and also the theater community that invited her to be the opening act. And and she did a similar thing in an opening for the Art Institute on the other side of the town,
The Ordway?
No. That's where the spoon.
It's in Minneapolis? Minneapolis.
Near Lindale and Senior Roman. I forget the name.
I'm blanking.
Not Baker.
I'm
blanking. Anyway, when they reopened, and I think it was 2005 when Walker Art Center reopened after
remodeling
they asked Rani to bring in an outdoor event, And her collaborator,
Can't remember it. Go ahead.
Yeah, her collaboration with the troupe from Bali, I thought it was a great success. Probably quite a few, 4,000 or 5,000 each night, or I don't know.
It was packed.
It was packed. Yeah.
I was there one night.
Yes. Yes.
You know.
Yeah. I tried out for a few days, but then I, with my travels, I didn't have enough time. It's not to be shown in a box called theater. It's a, you know, how, and even in a theater, when you bring to the theater, the proscenium type of theater is a very difficult one to present all the aspects of an art like Bharatanatyam. So these are struggles that, and one, you know, so we said we should discuss this. You know, how do we make this more part of life, more, and on one side, and then how you make the presentation more accessible on the proscenium stage, all the subtleties of this dance, which is lost in a large box auditorium.
Mm.
So it's nice to ruminate on, nice to discuss, but I don't know, you know, only if you discuss, you'll probably come up some ways. Even if you don't come up with some ways, but it's a nice thing to discuss, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
The other aspect is that one of the things that working with Rani is that she's a person with many, many ideas. So ideas, you know, every few minutes new ideas come. And so it's almost like exciting to work with her, discussing all these different ideas. And she has a sense of humor too. So that helps working with her easy, working with her go smooth, even with all the insistence on doing it right and, adherence to all the main principles, but on the other side, she can be fun, you know, in a fast-paced, fun atmosphere. So I, last time I visited her when she was creating a new dance. So it was very interesting how she collaborates and how the. You know, she had brought, I had helped her to bring a Kathakali drummer from India. And there was the taiko drummers over here. And then there's the Bharatanatyam dancers. And then the musicians, South Indian Carnatic music. So how do you collaborate all those things? So this is creating with all these different forms. Like I said, but first, the... You know, how did we create jazz in this country? It's the various art forms being coming together. So it's kind of an exciting thing to see this happen. I don't know whether this could have happened, say, like places in India, because it's much more traditional. But here, we are much more open, much more accepting of differences. So that probably tells something about our country too, that you can have this creativity thrive and form and transform, but without losing the integrity of some of these things.
Seems like a good place to end.
Yeah.
I mean, who could ask for much more, you know?
Yeah, no, has been an interesting part of my life for many years. And I enjoyed it, as I said, since I has started as a, when I was a boy, I was involved in it, and still I can enjoy, I'm involved in some way or other. What else can I ask?
Yes.
Yeah. For my own satisfaction. I am still friends with Rani. And Aparna and Ashwini,
yeah.
Too. And Tamara and all those people.
And you're still enjoying it all.
Enjoying it, yes.
Yes. Well, thanks so much, Gordon.
Okay.
Thanks for sitting down.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
This is an extension of the first interview, and so there's a couple of things you wanted to address again, Godan. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the collaboration between Aparna and Ronnie.
Yeah, you know, I had watched that develop over the years, and it has really matured quite a bit. They respect each other, and they take from each other. I had an actual instance in watching them. I have watched them over the years a few times, but last time I watched was when they were creating a piece which had a taiko drum, drums from Japan and an Indian chanda or Kerala chanda artist. Mm-hmm. And here's a piece they were trying to create with the integration of these two artists. And Aparna and Rani was working together, and I can see how that works very good. They had very good working relationship, and creating something new like that with a collaboration, I think, can be really exciting. I see that them very exciting, and also they're both perfectionists, so they move they test each moves and also include the other artists in creating something new.
So a part of it too is because Aparna, you know, I remember seeing early on, she was just a dancer early on, but as she aged and matured, is that when the collaborations started coming in?
Yes. The collaboration started coming in, and then you can even see their literature. Aparna was listed as associate or assistant artistic director. I think now they are both on equal footing. So over the years, it has come from this. Aparna has progressed from being just a dancer to assisting in creating things to equal collaboration with Ronnie. Mm-hmm.
You also talk about the insistence on perfection.
Yeah, one of the things that I noticed is that every time they do any performance or any even practice, they give attention to little details. One of the stories that I can say is that when I was accompanying them to India, the people who were on the stage, on the stage all the time, but the ones who were not on the stage were on the wings looking at how each movement was taking shape, and then later discussing, when they get home, discussing, oh, the hand could have probably raised a little bit more or a little bit low. So every time they performed, they tried to make it a little better one. And I haven't seen that kind of a, you know, that's a great insistence on perfecting as they go every time.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it seems like it's an ongoing process. As the performance goes on, it's still they're perfecting it.
Yeah.
Right. Perfecting, even though
this is probably their hundredth time doing the same show, maybe not 100, but literally, you know, they've done it, some of these shows many, many times, and still they try to make it a little better next time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know another thing, you were concerned about the innovation while sticking to tradition.
Yeah, you know, it's a fine balance between innovation and traditions, always in any art, I think. One of the things that I noticed is that even though they are using different types of drums, different types of stories, different types of other devices, but still they stick to the traditional movements, bhavas, the you know, all the aspects of the traditional dance form or of Bharatanatyam. Well, I'm not an expert on that, but what I could see when traveling to India, where there were many people who had good training in this kind of art, at the last venue, the person who was presiding over that venue after the show was somebody who had learned to dance quite a bit, and she kind of addresses the crowd, the audience, and say, "Well, you moms and your dancers here, see how much these people have worked and how much they stuck to traditions, and even in their makeup, they made sure they don't overdo it, they do it the right way." So I could see that even people steeped in tradition admired what Ragamala was doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know both Rani and Aparna, don't they go back and regularly with Vali, their teacher, their
right.
master?
They're always in touch with their master, Vali, and I think they take time whenever they get a chance to go and learn, visit, talk, all that.
So they're even though they're here, they're firmly connected with the tradition.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they respect Vali's ideas very much, so they're always in contact with that.
Okay.
Okay, that's all I think I have.
Okay, so great. Well, thanks a lot, Gonen.
Thank you, Dan, for accommodating me.
Yeah,